I love that song, and I hope and pray that it is well with your soul today, no matter what happens in this life, because you know Christ is your Savior, it's all well. Horatio G. Spafford, who wrote that song, was a man well acquainted with grief and tragedy, and in the midst of that tragedy, he wrote those words, and what a great, great encouragement to our heart today. We're continuing our series of messages about being a greater witness, and we're in Acts chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 17, and to begin this morning as we study, go, stand, and speak, Acts 5, verse 17. If you're able, let's stand together. It is good to be in God's house today, and we want to pray that He'll bless His Word as we look into it this morning, and we're challenged to go, stand, and speak the words of life that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 5:17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life that you've given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray if there's a soul here today who's never been saved, that today be the day they would say yes to you. They would repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on you and receive that gift of eternal life. And for those of us who have received that precious gift, that unspeakable gift, Lord, help us to share that gift with others. To go and stand in our world today and speak the words of life to everyone we can. Make us greater witnesses for you, that many souls would come to Christ. Help this to be a soul-winning church. Help me to be a soul-winning pastor. And Lord, may you get all the glory for what you do in this place. Please help now, for I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as things began to really ramp up with the early church after Jesus ascended to heaven and sent the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they began to preach and God was working and people were coming to Christ, the more influence the apostles and the early church had, the more the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jewish religion hated them. And the more they made an impact, the more things happened. Now, what we read just now came on the heels of Ananias and Sapphira. You remember, they sold a piece of land and gave part of the money to the church, and they told everybody they gave it all, but they kept back some. Now, they didn't sin by keeping back some. That wasn't wrong. That was fine. It was theirs before they sold it. It was theirs after they sold it and got the money to do what they wanted to with. What was wrong was when they lied about it and they pretended like they gave it all. But God gave them a chance to repent and confess their sin. And when confronted about it, Peter asked, well, did you give such and such? Did you give it all? Is that really what you did? But instead of confessing, they lied. And they both died. They were struck down dead, the Bible says, for lying to the Holy Ghost. And so he died, then his wife died. And as you can imagine, on the heels of that, people got very, very afraid of God. We would do well to be very, very afraid of God. People tell me, you hear people say things like, oh, my God is a God of love and wouldn't send anybody to hell, and I don't think you should be afraid of God because God's a God of love. Well, your God may be like that, but the God of the Bible is a God of love. He's also a God of justice and judgment and wrath, and he's to be feared. He's to be feared, and we ought to fear God. And so when this great fear came on all the people and all the people heard about what was going on and the moving and the power and the judgment of God among this group of people, these new people, these Christ followers, man, it made an impact on the whole city. And the Pharisees hated them for it. So when they caught Peter and John preaching, they threw them into prison. They said, you don't need to be preaching in that name anymore. But God's awesome because it doesn't really what mankind has in mind. God's going to accomplish his will. They put him in the prison. They locked the door. They put the keepers of the prison in front of it. The guards were there. But in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord came into that prison, got Peter and John and opened the door and led them out. And he said, go, stand, and speak in the temple all the words of this life. Well, what is this life? What's the life that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord? And their challenge was to go, to stand, and to speak. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to do today. We've received the word of life. We're to go. We're to stand for the truth. And we're to speak those words of life in our lives. Let's look at it. First of all, they were told to go. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And over and over and over in the scriptures, the command for us as believers, the command for us as a church is to go. Go and take the gospel to this lost and dying world. Now, we're supposed to come out of the world. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're not supposed to be like the world. And to be, we're in this world. We're not to be of the world. Everybody see the distinction? We're supposed to go, though, to the world and take the gospel to them. Why? Well, first of all, we're commanded to go. He said, go. Listen, the angel came in the middle of the night, got him out of prison. I think I would be inclined to do what he said to do. I mean, you remember that the guards, we're going to see in a minute, the guards were standing in front of the door the whole time. How'd they get by him? I don't know. But God did something miraculous there. The doors just opened for them. That's not a big deal to you and me today because you go to Walmart and the doors open for you all the time. I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, when they first put in those automatic doors at Kmart, it was the coolest thing in the world. It wasn't those little infrared things like we have now. They had the mat on the floor. You remember those? This is my favorite thing in the world. I had to run ahead of Mom so I could jump on it, boom, and open the doors. And it was like magic, man. You run up and jump on that and be like, wow. And the doors would open up. Some of you are so young, you're like, they used to didn't open for you? You had to do that yourself? Yeah. You had to grab the handle and open that thing. But this was a long time before automatic doors. The angel just said, come, come on. And as they walked to the doors, they just opened up. They walked past the guards like they're invisible or something. And then the gates close. And they go on their way. And the angel says, I want you to do something. I want you to go back. You were in here because of what you were doing. That's what I want you to go back and do. Because God wants us to understand, it doesn't matter what the response of the world is. We are always to go and stand and speak the words of life. Whether we're in a place where there's great persecution and people are dying, we're still to go and stand and speak. Whether we're in a country today that's beginning to hate the Word of God in the name of Jesus and tries to silence Christians today and threatens us with fines or threatens us with imprisonment or threatens us to lose our tax-exempt status or whatever it may be, we're to go and stand and speak the words of this life. We need to go. We're commanded to go. Look at verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. When the angel of the Lord said, go, stand, and speak, they got up and they went and they stood and they spoke. You know, if we could just get this, we'd be in pretty good shape. When God says do it, do it. That's what these men did, and we're going to see the great results of it in just a little bit. But when he commanded to go, they just obeyed. We have a command to go. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19, we're told to go and preach the gospel. Luke 9:60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. We have a commandment to go, to take the gospel to our town, to take the gospel to our state, to take the gospel to our nation, to take the gospel to our world. We're commanded to go. We are constrained to go as well. Look at verse 22. But when the officers, let's finish verse 21. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. So in the middle of the night, the angel gets them out, but nobody knows it. So the next morning, the Pharisees call the whole council together. They're going to judge these men. But when they say, all right, we got everybody together, go get the prisoners, he sends them to be brought. Verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Listen, we have a commandment to go, but we also are constrained to go. What's the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:14? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And when you consider what Jesus Christ has done for you, how is it that we wouldn't go? When you consider that in spite of our sin, Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for us, why wouldn't we go? When you consider that we don't deserve the forgiveness of sins, and yet we're given freely forgiveness of sin, why wouldn't we go? When you consider that by the mercy and grace of God, we don't get what we deserve, we get the free gift of everlasting life, why wouldn't we go? They said, listen, we ought to obey God rather than men. Jesus Christ, whom you slew and hanged on a tree, He's the one that gives repentance. He's the one that gives forgiveness of sin. He's the one that's given us life. How can we not go? How can we not go? In Mark chapter 5, we read about the maniac, the man we call the maniac of Gadara. And after Jesus cast out the demons and healed the man, Mark 5:19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And the love of Christ and the compassion of God in our lives ought to move us to tell others about Jesus. When you consider how much he loves you, we ought to be constrained to go. So, started out because they were preaching the gospel, got thrown in jail. The angel lets them out. Says, go stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. And they get up early the next morning. They go and stand and preach and teach in the temple. When the Pharisees get the council together to judge them, they say, go get the prisoners. Well, they're not there. Listen, the prison's all shut up. The guards are right outside the door. I don't know how they got out, but there's not anybody in that prison. And so they're scratching their heads trying to figure out what to do. And then somebody comes up and says, hey, those fellas you're looking for in the prison, they're down there preaching in the temple again. They're down there in the temple teaching and preaching again. So the Jewish leaders send men to go get them. But the people are so amazed at the preaching and teaching and what's been going on with these people, the Pharisees don't take them by force because they're scared. If we grab these men by force, if we get Peter and these other apostles by force, the people are going to go crazy and stone us. So they take them kindly. Hey, we're going to need you to come with us, please. So they go with them. They set them before the council. Say, didn't we tell you to stop preaching in this name? You're trying to put the blood of that man on us. You know, it's kind of funny. But I remember when the crowd was crying out for Jesus to be crucified, and Pilate declared his innocence of the blood of Jesus, they said with their own mouths, let his blood be on us and on our children. might be a lesson for us too, to be careful what we say. You get caught in your own words. So they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 30, look at it again. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we, verse 32, are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When we are going, we go because we're commanded to go. We go because we're constrained to go. The love of Christ moves us to go. But we need to remember today that we don't go alone. We have companionship as we go. He said, listen, we're witnesses of things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God is a witness of these things, and he is with us as we go. Mark 1:38, he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Jesus, when he was here, his purpose was to go and preach the gospel, and he gave that. He told his disciples, he told his church, he said, listen, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. But he never sends us alone. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. In Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The Holy Spirit would go with this. And 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are laborers together with God. We don't do this thing alone. The Holy Spirit of God is with us. God is working with us. We have his companionship as we go. A lot of times we're scared to tell somebody else about Jesus. You do well to remember you're not telling somebody about Jesus by yourself. His Spirit is with you to help you. He said, go. And then he said, stand. I want you to notice how they stood. Look down at verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. It took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. So they got the council. And when Peter and the other apostles give their defense, give their answer, they preach the gospel to them. Jesus Christ is the one you don't want us to preach in his name anymore. He is the one that God sent. You slew him on a tree, but God has exalted him because he is the one that gives repentance and forgiveness of sins. He's the only hope you have for eternal life. You killed him, but God has exalted him. And when they heard that, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. Have you ever been cut to the heart by the word of God? Me and Brother Steve have. I guarantee you, the word of God convicts. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces all the way to your heart and soul. And when they heard the word of God, they were convicted. Check out their response, though. I don't know what your response is when you get convicted by the word of God. I hope it's not this response. When the preachers preached and they got convicted, they said, I'm going to kill them. You're dead. I hope you don't feel like that every Sunday after church. That's their response to the conviction of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in their heart. Let's kill the preacher. Maybe if we keep killing enough preachers, they'll quit saying that kind of stuff. What's your response to the truth of the Word of God? I hope you I hope you surrender to it. I hope you submit to it. And then I hope you stand on it. We need to stand in the truth. I love what 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says. Paul's writing to the churches of Thessalonica, and he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Listen, when we hear the word of God, when we hear the word of truth, we need to stand on that word of truth. We need to believe it. We need to stand on it. These men, when they were challenged, they were going to stand on it. They weren't going to back down. They said, "Listen, you need to quit speaking this word. You need to quit preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus." And they said, "We've got to stand on this truth. We can't not stand on it. We have to stand on the truth." Gamaliel stands up and said, and he gives them a little space. He sets the apostles aside. He says, "Listen, this isn't the first group of rabble-rousers that ever come around here. You remember that one fellow, Theudas? 400 people followed him, and they all died. And the ones that weren't dead, they all scattered abroad. And then there was that other fella came after him, Judas of Galilee, and you remember he got a bunch of people following him, but you know what? He died too, and nothing came of it." He said, "You need to just leave these guys alone. Because if what they're doing is of men, it's not going to amount to anything anyway. If what they're doing is of men, it's going to come to naught. It's nothing." He said, "But if it's not of men, if it's of God, you're not going to accomplish anything anyway. You're going to be fighting against God." So Gamaliel had a little bit of wisdom. Gamaliel said, "Listen, I don't know whether these guys are, what they're doing is of God or of men, but if you'll just leave them alone, we'll find out. Just leave them alone, and we'll find out." But they were going to stand for the truth. Look at verse 40. "And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." Not only do we need to stand in truth, we need to stand together. We need to stand together. Philippians 4:1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Remember Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I want you to get it. These men stood and preached in the temple together. They were arrested together. They were beaten together. And when it was good and the people were coming around to hear this preaching and teaching and the people were receiving it and it was good, they stood together. And when they got locked up in the prison, they were together. And when they were beaten, they were together. I want to tell you something, friends. God did not call us to do this work alone. Not only does he give us the Holy Spirit, he has given us our church, the body of Christ, to bring us together with Christ as our head, to work together in unity, to work together with one mind and one heart, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One of the reasons I believe these men were able to stand so strong is because they stood together. I'm so thankful for our church family. And I don't know if you realize how valuable and how important it is. And I don't know if you realize how valuable and how important you are as a part of it. We are the body of Christ in this community. And we must come together and work together and go together and stand together for the faith of the gospel. You know, when you've got something, part of your body that's not working right, we call that a disability, right? Something's not working right. You can't function the way that you should because maybe you got a disability with your back or your leg or your arm or whatever. And I'm just here to tell you that when you and I, as members of this body, aren't where we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, we are a disability. But I got good news for you. If you've not been what you need to be in the church, you can repent and you can get right and you can be what you need to be, just like that. Stand together. Go stand and speak. Look again at verse 41. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Go, stand, and speak. Acts 4 and verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. If the Word of God has had an impact on you and on your life, if your faith in Jesus Christ has had an impact on you, of what you have seen and heard of Jesus has impacted your life, then you can't not tell other people. Listen, we come to church and hear the Word of God preached and it convicts our heart, it changes us, it blesses us, it helps our life. When you go to work on Monday morning, you can't help but talk about it. But when you come here and your heart's not in it and you're not worshiping God from a true heart and you don't receive anything from the Word of God, then you don't talk about it on Monday because it hasn't impacted you. I want to tell you something, and this is from my own personal experience. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life, and some of it's been really great and some of it's been not so great. But what I got out of the preaching of the Word of God had nothing to do with the man up there preaching it. It had everything to do with my heart. Every time. You see, when we come with the right heart, we're going to get something. And the things that we see and hear from the Word of God are going to impact our life, and we can't not tell people. Where do we get this speech from? We're supposed to speak. Where are we going to get this speech from? Well, we're going to get it from the Word of God. That's what we read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He said, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. How are we going to know what to tell others? We're supposed to go stand and speak. What do we tell them? We tell them the gospel. We tell them the word of God. This is the word of life. By the word of God and by the spirit of God. Matthew 10:20, Jesus told his church, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the Holy Spirit of God will work in your life to help you to know what to say. He teaches us, he guides us into all truth, and he brings to remembrance the things of God. I'm amazed when I'm trying to witness to somebody sometimes how verses will come to me just like that. I'm telling you right now, that's not me. I'm not that smart. That's the Holy Spirit of God. They have a question or they have a concern and I don't know what to say, and then all of a sudden I'll remember a verse and it's exactly what I need in that moment. Where's that come from? Well, it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. We speak by the Spirit of God and we speak by faith in God. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. When we believe the Word of God, we speak the Word of God. The source of our speech and the strength of our speech. I told you before, I want to remind you one last time, that when we speak, we don't speak by our own power. When we go, we don't go by our own power. When we stand, we don't stand on our own power. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. If you've ever been afraid to tell somebody else about Jesus, like I have, you need to pray and ask the Lord to give you boldness. And when they had prayed, Acts 4:31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Listen, you can go to your friends, and you can go to your family, and you can tell them about Jesus. You can go and stand and speak in your workplace. You can go and stand and speak in your school. You can go and stand and speak to your family and friends. You can go and stand and speak, and you can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have to go alone. You can't go alone. This work is too big for us. Go, stand, and speak. If we have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, It doesn't matter what the world says or does. We're going to go and tell others. I'm amazed by something. Some of you people are like this. You know, we worry sometimes about, you know, there's places in the world that this book is illegal. Right? And I know how some of you are. If America ever gets to that point and they try to ban the Bible, I know some of you are like, they'd have to pry it out of my cold, dead fingers. Right? Your Bible and your gun. Amen. Now, see, that's preaching right there. And I always think when people are like that, if you don't read it now, you're not going to die for it then. You don't even read it now, like you're going to die. When they come in with the gun in your face, things are going to change a little bit. You know, the dust is kind of piled up on there. Maybe it's not worth dying for. Well, it is worth dying for, by the way. But if you don't read it now, you're not going to die for it then. You know the same thing about evangelism? We hear these people talking about, and we're worried about the laws coming down that you can't share the gospel anywhere, and we see these battles going on. Legal battles are happening all the time in universities around America because Christian groups are going onto campuses. They're sharing the gospel with people. They're giving out gospel tracts. Campus security comes out and says, you can't do that here, and they have a big protest, and then it goes to court, and all those battles are being fought all the time here in America today, right now today. And right now, the law is on our side because we happen to have a constitution that gives us freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Right? But I hear people with this attitude. It's, you know, when they tell me I can't tell others about Jesus, I'm going to do it anyway. Listen, if you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it then. But these men had been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were going to be witnesses to Jesus, witnesses of Jesus Christ. And it didn't matter what they said. They threw them in prison. That's all right. The Lord will take care of us. The Lord got them out. They went and stood and preached. They got hauled back in again. And then they say, you know what? That's a good idea, Gamaliel. We'll just let them go. But we're going to beat them before we let them go. So they beat them. And when they go away, they don't say, you know what, I'm not sure about this. This isn't really what I signed up for. No, they go away rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And then they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. Friend, we may start to face a little persecution here, but even with it, when it comes, we ought to go and stand and speak the words of this life. We're going to get ready for an invitation. While they're coming, would you stand with me? I want you to see the result of this. When God's people go and stand and speak the way God commands, verse 42 said, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So they went to the temple, the public place of worship, but then they went in every house. They went from house to house preaching the gospel. And then it says in the first verse of the next chapter, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. I like multiplication. That's a lot better than addition. That means it's not just one guy going out preaching the gospel, winning people to Jesus. It means a lot of people are. And then those people that get the gospel, they go out and share it too. The number of the disciples multiplied. Why? Well, it had something to do with the fact that they didn't cease. But every day, they were teaching and preaching Jesus. Friend, we have every opportunity every day, at work, in our community, in our family, in our neighborhood, to go and stand and speak the words of life. If you've got a burden on your heart today for lost souls, I hope you'll come and pray for the Lord to give you boldness to share the gospel with other people. And this morning, if you have no desire in your heart to tell other people about Jesus, you need to get your heart right today. If you don't have a passion for souls, you need to ask for it. We ought to be broken for the people in our community and in our world that don't know the Lord. So if you need to come and ask for a passion, ask for God to stir up your heart, do that today. If you need to come and ask the Lord to give you boldness and courage today, whatever it is, I want to invite you to come while we sing. Number 521. Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Maybe you got a family member, a friend on your heart today that needs Jesus. Whatever it is, would you come?